my name is Sue Park. Welcome back to Heart and Soul Gospel Ministries Children's Program. This hour we have program, Let's Read the Bible, which will help us learn God's Word while we are reading it. And we have a devotional program for teenagers called A Lot. Next program is Children's Bible Drama. This will help us to understand more from the Bible. And last but not least, my favorite program, Daily Devotional, will let us think about how we should live as a Christian in this world. Let's start with Let's Read the Bible.
Hello everyone, my name is Yuna Kang. I'm the host of this program, Let's Read the Bible. As we looked through Romans chapter 7 last time, we saw that people in their flesh know what is wrong, but cannot fix the problem. They can't escape sin, even if they wanted to. Because of these things, we see that they are miserable people. To people like us, is there any hope? In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul first tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, that those who belong to Christ Jesus are no longer under God's sentence. This verse means that those who became a child of God through Jesus can no longer judge what is right or wrong through the law. Because God knew that we could not live by the law due to our corrupt sins, God sent His Son Jesus to this land as a human to pay the price for our sins. This is why the law can no longer demand the people to pay for the price of their own sins due to their wrong behavior. Instead, we must start to follow and live by the Spirit of God, which is another name for the Spirit of Jesus and also the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, who lives with us inside our hearts. We just need to follow Him because He will always guide us onto the right path. There may be many times when we fall, and we might go on the wrong path while trying to follow God. There may be times when the path is too steep, and the path may seem long. However, leaving all these things behind and without judging whether something is wrong or sinful, we have hope that there is a Holy Spirit waiting for us, teaches us, and helps us on these paths. Although our bodies are sinful and want to sin, our souls, which control our bodies, can follow the Holy Spirit in order to train our bodies to obey our souls. Therefore, the Apostle Paul advises us in verse 12 to stop living under the control of our sinful nature. Instead, he says that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can put the sins that our bodies commit to death. Up until Jesus died on the cross for us, God was our Lord of judgment, who would have judged us without exceptions. His eyes were full of fury towards sin, and we could only be afraid of Him. However, through the death of Jesus on the cross, God was no longer the furious God. Instead, He became a Father who adopted us as His children. The Holy Spirit of God who lives in us testifies this. We no longer have a reason to be scared of God. This is because He became our Father as a result of His love for us. We love our Father who also loves us, so we should not commit sin because of the demands of the law. Instead, we must focus on living a life that makes God, whom we love, happy. I hope that you no longer focus solely on not committing sins just for the sake of it, and instead, I hope that you focus on how to make God happy and do these things with joyfulness. Now, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for loving us and making us Your children. Thank You for also allowing us to call You our Father. We ask for Your love to touch us deeply so that we can live a life that brings You happiness. Please guide us and lead us to do this. In the name of Jesus we pray, Amen. Now, let's read the Bible. Today, Alex from Arizona will read the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 1 through 17 from NIRV. I hope you all have a great week, and I hope you will join us again next week. Until then, God bless.
Hello. My name is Alex, I'm 18 years old, and I live in Chandler, Arizona. Today, I'm going to read Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 17, Let's Read the Bible. Those who belong to Christ Jesus are no longer under God's judgment. Because of what Christ Jesus has done, you are free. You are now controlled by the law of the Holy Spirit who gives you life. The law of the Spirit frees you from the law of sin that brings death. The written law was made weak by the power of sin, But God did what the written law could not do. He made his son to be like those who live under the power of sin. God sent him to be an offering for sin. Jesus suffered God's judgment against our sin. Jesus does for us everything the holy law requires. The power of sin should no longer control the way we live. The Holy Spirit should control the way we live. So don't live under the control of sin. If you do, you will think about what sin wants. Live under the control of the Holy Spirit. If you do, you will think about what the Spirit wants. The thoughts of a person ruled by sin bring death, but the mind ruled by the Spirit brings life and peace. The mind ruled by the power of sin is at war with God. It does not obey God's law. It can't. Those who are under the power of sin can't please God, but you are not ruled by the power of sin. Instead, the Holy Spirit rules over you. This is true if the Spirit of God lives in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Christ. If Christ lives in you, you will live. Though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life. The Spirit does this because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of the God who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. So the God who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your bodies. He will do this because of His Spirit who lives in you. Brothers and sisters, we have a duty. Our duty is to not live under the power of sin. If you live under the power of sin, you will die. But by the Spirit's power, you can put to death the sins you commit. Then you will live. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive doesn't make you slaves. Otherwise, you will live in fear again. Instead, the Holy Spirit you received made you God's adopted child. By the Spirit's power, we call God Abba. Abba means Father. The Spirit Himself joins with our spirits. Together they tell us that we are God's children. As His children, we will receive that He has all has for us. We will share what Christ receives, but we must share in His suffering if we want to share in His glory. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for giving us words and faith while we read and listen to your scripture. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Bottom.
following is a devotional program for teens called A Lot. You can recommend this program to your older brothers and sisters. There will be 2 episodes every week. Here's the first episode.
How have you heard people start conversations with God? How do you like to talk to God? Hey there, I'm Andrew Stevens, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. I have to admit, when I read today's devotion, it really struck me. I definitely learned some things about prayer. I hope you'll learn just as much. This one is called Casual Conversations with God, and was written by Hannah Howe. When I pray out loud with friends, some of them begin by saying, "Hi, God." At first, this struck me as odd and maybe even a little disrespectful. I mean, after all, God is the creator and supreme ruler of everything. But I realized it actually makes some sense to talk to God in this casual way because God wants us to be in this kind of relationship with Him. Personal, everyday friendship. And knowing that He is also the amazing, glorious, almighty King of the universe makes that friendship even more incredible. I mean, think about it. When Jesus, who is fully God and fully human, was living on earth, people hung out with Him. They went for walks and ate snacks and laughed and jokes together. Jesus wasn't serious all the time. Jesus came to live with us, and this is still the kind of relationship God wants to have with His people. He wants to share everyday things with us. We can talk to Him about anything and everything. Prayers don't need to be fancy or impressive because we're talking to our friend. It's also pretty cool that we can pray anytime because God already knows our thoughts. It's like telepathy, but better. He invites us into a lifestyle of sharing with Him, of being open and constantly interacting with Him. And even though God already knows everything we're experiencing and He knows everything we'll say before we even say it, God still invites us to talk to Him. In fact, He loves it when we talk with Him because He loves us. One of the reasons Jesus came was to show us who God is, what He's like, and what kind of relationship He wants us to have with Him. When Jesus let Himself be killed on a cross, He showed that God loves us so much that He's willing to die for us. And Jesus' death was powerful because it paid the price for all humanity's wrongdoing. Jesus came back to life and showed Himself to His friends because He wanted them to know Him and to be with Him forever. God made a way for us to be in close relationship with Him, no matter what we've done. If we put our trust in Jesus, we can know that God has totally forgiven us, and nothing can separate us from Him anymore. He's always so near, so eager for us to reach out to Him. When we talk to God like a friend, I think it makes Him really happy. So, let's talk about this. What are some questions going through your mind right now? How have you heard people start conversations with God? How do you like to talk to God? As you and I can read in John 15, verse 13, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Now, I'd encourage you to read in your Bible John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, as well as Acts 17, verse 27, and Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39, to help keep God's Word alive in your life. Unlocked is a service of Keys for Kids Ministries, and it's listener-supported. Just $5 a month goes a long way to help us keep Unlocked going strong into the future. And if you'd like to donate and join the team supporting Unlocked, you can do so by checking out the Giving tab in the Unlocked app or visiting unlocked.org. Now, be sure to check back tomorrow because you and I are going to be talking about servants. But until then, I'm Andrew, encouraging you to live life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Here's the second episode of Unlock.
What are some ways people have shown you kindness? How has God shown you kindness? Hey there, I'm Andrew Stevens, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. Kindness. It's a word that, if I'm honest, is kind of a bit cliche, just because I think you and I both have heard it so much growing up. But we're going to take a closer look at it anyway in our devotion today because it's in the context of a really cool story from the Old Testament in God's Word. This one was written by Kimberly Brockish and is called, What is Kindness? Kindness. How many times have you heard that word? Growing up, I heard it all the time. Be kind to people. But what exactly is kindness? One of the best biblical examples I can think of involves David and a man named Mephibosheth. In the days of David, when a new family became king, all family members of the old king would be killed. Crazy, right? Well, when King Saul and his son Jonathan are killed in battle, David becomes the new king. Jonathan had a son named Mephibosheth. David, as the new king, was expected to kill all of Saul and Jonathan's relatives, including Mephibosheth. But instead of doing that, David asked if any of Saul's relatives were left, who he could show kindness to. Now, David had made an oath to Jonathan, who was his closest friend. When Saul wanted to kill David, Jonathan swore he would help David escape. And David swore he would show unfailing kindness, like God's kindness, to Jonathan and his family. That story is recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 20. So now, David invites Mephibosheth to come to the palace. Not only that, but David also gives Mephibosheth everything that belonged to his grandfather Saul. Imagine being Mephibosheth for a second, who went to the palace probably expecting to die, but was instead given back the land of his ancestors. David also told Mephibosheth that he was to eat at the king's table, an honor usually reserved for the sons of the king. I can't think of a better example of kindness than David's kindness to Mephibosheth. In that time, it would have likely been perfectly legal and considered just for him to kill Mephibosheth. But instead of doing that, or even letting Mephibosheth live, David treated him as a son. David's kindness foreshadowed the amazing kindness God has shown his people. When we're God's enemies, helpless to save ourselves, Jesus showed us the ultimate kindness by dying for us. After all, who dies for their enemies? Not only that, but God welcomes us into his family as his children, even as his heirs. Through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, he not only saves us from the death we deserve, but also welcomes us to eat at his table with him. So let's talk about this. What are some questions going through your mind right now? What are some ways people have shown you kindness? How has God shown you kindness? Once we put our trust in Jesus, who perfectly embodies kindness, his Holy Spirit is in us and empowers us to be kind, even to our enemies. How might remembering and receiving God's kindness to you help you show that kindness to others? As you and I can read in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 3, "So the king asked, 'Is there anyone left of Saul's family that I can show the kindness of God to?'" Now, I'd encourage you to read in your Bible 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 through 13, as well as Romans chapter 5, 6 through 11, and Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, to help keep God's word alive in your life. Unlocked is a service of Keys for Kids Ministries, and it's listener-supported. Just $5 a month goes a long way to help us keep Unlocked going strong into the future. And if you'd like to donate and join the team supporting Unlocked, you can do so by checking out the Giving tab in the Unlocked app or unlocked.org. Now, be sure to check back tomorrow because you and I are going to take a look at the beginning of a two-part series on the Promised Land. But until then, I'm Andrew, encouraging you to live life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Amazing. like anything can happen. Can't hardly wait to see what's next. I wanna face this world with wonder and excitement. Face every challenge every day.
Coming up next, children's Bible drama.
Hello everyone, it's June from the Judges version of children's Bible drama.
'Long live the king! 'Long live the king!
I have finally become king!
Abimelech killed his father's sons and became king just as he desired. He had no guilt about killing his brothers and enjoyed the banquet. Among Gideon's 70 sons, the youngest son, Jotham, survived the attack and became angry as he saw Abimelech.
Father, what happened? Abimelech, who was born from your concubine, has killed all our brothers and became king.
Jotham was filled with sadness and began climbing Mount Gerizim. Then he shouted in a loud voice from the hilltop towards Shechem.
Listen, people of Shechem, it was not right for you to make Abimelech king. My father gave his life to fight Midian and saved you from their hands. But you killed all my father's sons and made Abimelech king. You have done a wicked thing and paid back good with evil. If what you did was right, then through Abimelech good things will happen to you. If what you did was evil, then fire will come from Abimelech and consume you.
Jotham told the prophecy that came from God. He avoided Abimelech and lived quietly in Beer. 3 years had passed since Abimelech became king of the Shechem people. At first, the Shechem people liked Abimelech and followed him, but gradually they started hating him.
Life is not easy these days. Abimelech said when we make him king, he will take care of us, but because of all the crops and taxes he collects from us, our lives have become more difficult than the past.
Yes! When his father Gideon ruled, our lives were peaceful.
We need to eat and live well. I have a good idea.
The Shechem people went to the hilltops to ambush and rob people who passed by. They did this secretly so Abimelech wouldn't find out. It was during this time when a strong man named Gaal was moving to Shechem with his brother.
This seems like a good place to live. What do you think, brother?
Yes, the vineyard is large and many grapes are growing.
It'll be tasty to make wine from these grapes. I see the people from here. Excuse me.
The Shechem farmers who were picking grapes from afar saw the strong Gaal and his brother.
Who are you? It doesn't seem like you're from here.
We are the Gaal brothers. We came here because it seems like a good place to live. We are strong, so let me know if you need anything. We will help you. Should we help you pick your grapes?
Oh, that will be good. Please help us, since we are short-handed.
The Gaal brothers helped the Shechem people pick grapes. They worked all day, and in the evening, the Shechem people held a festival with the Gaal brothers. As the festival went on, Gaal, who was drunk, spoke.
What? There's a king in this small town? Who does Abimelech think he is? He became king on his own, right? Bring him here at once. I'll break his neck. Isn't there a father of Shechem? Him or is the ancestor of Shechem and his descendants should be the king, not Abimelech.
Oh, God. I knew you were a strong man the first time I saw you. If the Gaul brothers could drive Abimelech would become a thorn in our eyes, we will treat you very well.
If you help me, I will easily drive out Abimelech.
Gaul and the Shechem people were drunk and ridiculed Abimelech. Abimelech's right-hand man, Zebul, was at that place. Zebul immediately told Abimelech about the conversation between Gaul and the Shechem people.
What did you say? I was kind to the Shechem people because they are from my mother's hometown. How dare they ridicule me? I will kill all of them at once!
Abimelech heard about how the Gaul brothers and the Shechem people ridicule him. What will he do? I'll see you next time from the Judges version of Children's Bible Drama. Goodbye.
How big is God? He's very, 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 very big! God is big. God is big. God is very, very, very.
guys. I'm Allison. I'd like to invite you to participate in our program, Let's Read the Bible. You can record your own reading of Bible passages and send them to us, Heart and Soul Gospel Ministries. For more information, please call us at 602-866-8999. Thank you.
Following is a program, Daily Devotional, provided by Keys for Kids Ministries. Every week, we will listen to Monday through Friday's Daily Devotional. I hope you can listen to one devotional a day during the week. Now it's time for Monday's Daily Devotional.
I'm pretty sure I'm a Christian. I mean, my family goes to church and stuff. That means I'm saved, right?
Some people think so, but you have to believe in Jesus Christ to be saved, that's for sure. You're tuned in to listener-supported Keys for Kids, a great way to grow your faith in God. My name is Zach. It's great if your family goes to church every single Sunday, but just going to church won't make you a Christian any more than going into a restaurant will make you a cheeseburger. Some people even think that just because their parents are Christians, they must be Christians too. But to be a Christian, you have to believe in Jesus and accept Him as your Savior on your own. It's something you have to do for yourself. So if you haven't decided to follow Jesus on your own yet, well, listen to our story today. It's entitled, Almost. David turned off his alarm clock and stretched. Sunday morning's message still bothered him. Pastor Hill had stressed every person's need to trust Jesus as their Savior, and David had almost decided to talk to the pastor or his dad about it. Maybe I should have, he thought. But, oh well, I'm almost sure I'm saved anyway. He shook the thoughts from his mind. Right now, he had other things to think about, like baseball, for instance. David was shortstop for the Lions, and today they were playing the Bears for the citywide championship. Soon it was time for the game to begin, and both teams were eager to win. As the game progressed, it became obvious they were well matched. First, the Lions were ahead, then the Bears, and then the Lions went ahead again. Unfortunately for David and his teammates, the Bears scored 2 runs in the bottom of the 9th inning and won the championship. That was a great game, Dad said as they drove home. You played very well. A great game? David shook his head. We lost. You ended up as the 2nd place team in the whole city. You should feel good about that, said Dad. Yeah, his sister agreed. Your team almost won. Well, almost isn't enough, David replied. We still lost. I guess I can understand how you feel, Dad said, giving him a thoughtful look. In fact, your game reminds me of the message we heard on Sunday. Really? How? David asked, curious since he had been thinking about Pastor Hill's sermon that morning. I was thinking of King Agrippa's answer to the Apostle Paul in the Bible story Pastor Hill read. When Paul told him Jesus died and rose again so we could be saved, King Agrippa replied, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." And you're right, David, almost isn't enough. Not in winning baseball games or in getting saved. David was startled. He was almost certain he was saved, but what if he wasn't? He'd thought about talking to someone about it on Sunday. Now he knew he shouldn't put it off any longer. Being almost sure he was a Christian wasn't enough. Dad, can we talk when we get home? He asked. I have to make sure about something. How about you? Are you almost sure you're a Christian? Almost isn't good enough. Make sure right now. For more information, get your parents' permission and go to keysforkids.org/salvation or check out the Have You Heard the Good News section on page 102 of the Keys for Kids print devotional. If you need help understanding what trusting Jesus means as your Savior, talk with a parent, a teacher, or another Christian adult, and don't wait any longer. Trusting Jesus today is the most important thing you can do. Our key scripture is Acts 26, verse 28.
Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian."
And our key thought,
Trust Jesus today. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
This is time for Tuesday's Daily Devotional.
I've been taking really good care of my tree, but it's still dying. Why doesn't it like my backyard?
Some kinds of trees and plants need just the right kind of dirt to help them grow, and you do too. Welcome to a brand new week of stories and scriptures right here at Keys for Kids. My name is Zach. Some plants only grow in sandy soil. Others need muddy or really wet dirt to thrive. It's important to know what kind of soil plants need when you go to plant them. That's true for Christians too, but not because of dirt or water. Christians need other Christian friends for encouragement and Bible reading to learn and prayer to stay connected to God. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 says, "Just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in Him, being rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith." Our story today is called Transplanted Tree. Gail carefully filled a pitcher with water, took it out to the backyard, and poured the water at the base of a tiny black spruce tree. Each day, more dried-up needles fell to the ground. "It's not going to live, is it, Mom?" he asked. "I don't know, Gail," Mom answered. "It doesn't look like it will." "But I've been taking such good care of it," Gail said. "I know," Mom said. "But remember what Grandpa said when you asked him if you could transplant it? He told you he didn't think a black spruce would grow in our yard because those trees usually grow in extremely damp soil." "But I've watered it every day," Gail exclaimed. "I know, but since it's so dry here, that might not be enough." Gail and his mom stood looking at the scraggly tree. "You know, Gail, that black spruce seedling reminds me of myself." "It does? How?" "It's in the wrong environment. And I used to be in the wrong environment too," Mom explained. "I ignored my Bible, seldom went to church, and didn't take time to pray. I didn't spend much time with people who loved the Lord. And as a result, I didn't grow spiritually. For a long time, I didn't even realize that." "We can't always be with Christians, though, can we?" asked Gail. "I mean, I have to spend a lot of time at school, and a lot of the kids there aren't saved." "You're right. It's true that we all spend time in places where there are people who don't know Jesus," Mom agreed. "In fact, that's why we need to be in those places, so we can point others to His love and grace. But we can't do that effectively without being rooted in God's Word and connected to God's people. That's why praying, reading the Bible, and going to church are so important. Spending time with God and other Christians reminds us that we belong to Jesus. Those things create the healthy, fertile environment we need to grow spiritually and tell others about Him." "Okay, I'll try to remember that," said Gail. "If this tree dies, I'll get another kind that will grow here. It will remind me that I need the right environment too." So how about you? What kind of spiritual environment do you have in your life? Do you attend church regularly? Do you have close friends who love the Lord and encourage you to follow Him? Do you read the Bible yourself and take time to talk with Jesus? Don't neglect the things that help create the environment you need to grow spiritually and stay rooted in your faith. Our key verses are found in the New Testament letter to the Colossians, chapter 2, verses 6 and 7.
"Just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in Him, being rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith."
And our key thought for the day, be rooted in Jesus.
Hey, Zach, what happens when you trust Jesus as your Savior, but don't trust Him fully?
Hi, Nora. If you don't feel like you can trust Jesus fully yet, I suggest you pray to God and ask Him to help you have the faith you need to trust Jesus more. I would also suggest that you speak with a trusted adult about what it means to follow Jesus. As always, my name is Zach. Thanks for listening to Keys for Kids.
Here's Wednesday's Daily Devotional.
I love popcorn, but I hate accidentally chewing a kernel. Why don't they all pop?
Popcorn is kind of like people. Not all of them are willing to change. Hi, I'm Zach. Do you like popcorn? If you do, you'll love today's story right here on Keys for Kids. I love popcorn, but I've always wondered why some of the kernels don't pop when you make it. Those kernels are totally dried up, and that means they won't burst into a fully fluffy popped piece of popcorn when heated. Not everyone is ready to accept Jesus after they hear the gospel for the first time either. And while many people are ready to become a Christian, others need more time, kind of like those unpopped kernels of corn. But whenever someone does become a follower of Jesus, they're brand new, just like it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. Our story today, popcorn people. This popcorn is so good, exclaimed Avery as she helped herself to the stove pop popcorn her Sunday school teacher had made for the class in the church kitchen. It's so much better than microwave popcorn. I think I could eat the whole pan. Me too, said Emma. Ow, exclaimed Charlotte just as their teacher asked the kids to gather around. I bit into a hard burnt kernel. Sorry about that, Charlotte, said Miss Jones. But let's have a short lesson now before you go back upstairs to meet your parents. She paused as the kids got settled and then asked, Who knows what made the difference between the hard popcorn kernels like the one Charlotte just got and the tasty ones we all enjoyed? The good kernels popped, and the ones like Charlotte just bit on didn't, said Joffrey. Right, Miss Jones replied. Do you have any idea why those like Charlotte's didn't pop? The kids thought it over. Not really, said Emma. Heat makes them pop, but they all got heated, right? Miss Jones nodded. They did, and some of the kernels responded to the heat, but others didn't. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, how people are sort of like popcorn. The kids looked at their teacher in surprise. Popcorn people? Asked Avery. I don't get it. The popcorn needs to be changed, Miss Jones said, and people do too. Popcorn changes as it responds to heat. What do you think changes people? I know, said Charlotte. Jesus. We're changed when we become Christians, right? That's right, replied Miss Jones. People who hear the message of God's love and salvation and trust in Jesus are changed. Jesus fills their hearts with his love, and they become new people. But those who hear the gospel and reject its message are like the hard, unpopped kernels that felt the heat but didn't respond. She looked around at the group. God's love is like the heat on the stove. He loves every single person and offers each one of us the gift of eternal life through his son Jesus. It's my prayer that each of you will be like a popped kernel, that you'll respond to God's love and put your faith in Jesus. So what about you? Have you responded to the message of the gospel? The good news that Jesus died and rose again so you could be saved and have eternal life? Or do you remain unchanged, hard, and unyielding? When you put your faith in Jesus, you become a new person. Don't harden your heart toward the message of God's great love for you. Trust in Jesus today. For more information on what it means to trust in Jesus, go to keysforkids.org/salvation. Our key verse is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17.
Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun.
And our key thought for the day, respond to the gospel. Well, my name is Zach. Thanks for taking the time to listen to Keys for Kids today. I hope to see you right back here tomorrow.
Coming up next is Thursday's Daily Devotional.
I folded the dirty clothes on accident. Can't I just put them away anyway? Mom won't notice.
Even if she didn't, it's wrong to try to trick her. It's okay that you just made a mistake. I'm Zach, and you're tuned in to Keys for Kids. One time when I visited my uncle's farm, I brought my BB gun so I could practice my aim. I shot out the windows in an old building even though I knew that was wrong. My uncle had to replace the windows, and even though I felt guilty about it, I didn't admit that I did it right away. What I did was wrong. Trying to hide sin or tell yourself that it's not really sin is just lying to feel better about it. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Let's listen to our story today. It's called No Fooling. "Shoulder to shoulder, then folded over," Grady recited as he folded the final t-shirt in the laundry basket. He glanced up as his dad came in and set several bags of groceries on the counter. "Hi, Dad," he said. "Mom's not home from work yet, but I had a snack and I've already done my chores." He patted the clothes he had folded. "Good," Dad said. "How was school?" "Okay," Grady replied. "I don't have any homework, so can I go over to Drew's?" Eyeing the laundry Grady had folded, Dad lifted a t-shirt and examined it. "Where did you get this load of laundry?" "From the laundry room," said Grady. Dad frowned and shook his head. "The basket with clean clothes is in the hallway. You got socks out of it this morning, remember?" "Oh, no," Grady groaned. "You mean I wasted time folding dirty clothes?" He looked at the basket. "I didn't even notice these things weren't clean. They don't look dirty. Just this once, can we put them away and not tell Mom?" Dad chuckled. "You really think she wouldn't notice?" He shook his head. "Grady, when we try to hide things we've done wrong, we only deceive ourselves." "Deceive," echoed Grady. "We talked about that in church yesterday. Mr. Phil read a verse that says something about deceiving ourselves. He said that's what we do when we try to convince ourselves that some wrong things we've done is not so bad and it really isn't sin." Dad nodded. "We sometimes manage to fool ourselves and other people, but we don't fool God at all. That's why we should never try to hide our sin. We need to confess it to Jesus and ask Him to forgive us." Grady sighed. "Well, I guess it wasn't sinful to fold this stuff, but putting it away to deceive Mom would be," he said, looking at a small stain on one of the shirts he had folded. "It wouldn't fool her for very long anyway. I guess I better put these back in the laundry room and fold the clothes in the other basket. Want to help me?" "Sure," Dad said with a grin. "If you'll help me put away all these groceries." How about you? Have you tried to tell yourself that some wrong thing you've done is okay? Sometimes it's easy to convince ourselves that telling a white lie or being jealous of someone isn't so bad, but it's still sin. Don't try to hide it by deceiving yourself and pretending it's okay. Instead, confess it to Jesus. He promises to forgive you and give you a clean start. Once again, our key verse from 1 John chapter 1, verse 8.
"If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us."
And our key thought, don't try to hide sin. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
Next is Friday's Daily Devotional.
"I wish I could get Mom a nice birthday gift. All I have are flowers and a recipe book from school."
She'll love those gifts because you're giving them out of love. Welcome to Keys for Kids. My name is Zach, and I'm so glad that you're listening today. When I was growing up, one of my favorite gifts was a box of Lincoln Logs that I got from my uncle. It wasn't a big, flashy kind of gift, but he knew how much I would love playing with them. He was right, because for me, I played with them a lot. Now, you have a gift that you can give to God, too. It's yourself. You might not think that's much to give, but He loves when we choose to serve Him because we've been saved by Jesus. It's a gift from the heart, which is the best kind. 2 Corinthians 8:5 says, "They first gave themselves to the Lord." Our story today is called The Best Kind of Gift. "All I have for Mom's birthday is the recipe book I made in my class at school and the flowers I picked," thought Nicole. "I wish I had money so I could get her something really nice." She knew Dad had bought Mom a new phone, Nick had gotten her a necklace, and Natalie had bought Mom a bottle of her favorite perfume. When Nicole gave Mom her birthday gift, Nick looked at the flowers and snorted. "Those are weeds," he said. Natalie raised her eyebrows when she saw the cover of the recipe book that Nicole had drawn herself. "Did you make that at school?" she asked. Nicole could hear a hint of disdain in her voice. "I love both of these things," Mom said. But Nicole ran from the room crying. Mom got up to follow her. Nicole cried harder as her mom gathered her into her arms. "The gifts I gave you aren't as nice as the other things you got," she said. Mom kissed Nicole's forehead. "To me they are. I can see you spent a lot of time on the recipe book, and I already saw a recipe I want to try tomorrow, and I love flowers." Nicole sniffed. "I saw those in the field behind Grandma's house. I thought they were pretty, so I picked them for you." "They're very pretty," Mom said, "and that was so sweet of you." She hugged Nicole. "One thing I like so much about your gift is that it came from your heart. A gift from the heart is the best kind of all. I can't think of anything I would like better." "Really?" asked Nicole. "Really," said Mom. "And you know what? You not only gave me the recipe book and flowers, you also gave me a wonderful example of the kind of gift we should give to God." "We should give God a gift?" "What should we give him?" Nicole asked. "Ourselves," said Mom. "To give him ourselves means to love and serve him with all our hearts in response to the gift he gave us, his own son, Jesus, who died and rose again to save us from sin. That's the best gift we can give." She took Nicole's hand. "Come on, let's go have some of my birthday cake." So how about you? Have you accepted the gift God offers you, eternal life through Jesus? In return, have you given yourself to him? Do you serve him because you love him and want others to know him too? Are you willing to give up your time or money to show others his love? He gave you the best gift of all when he sent Jesus to save you, so give him yourself in return. For more information on what it means to accept God's gift, ask for your parents' permission and then go to keysforkids.org/salvation. Our key verse today comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5.
They first gave themselves to the Lord.
And our key thought, give yourself to God. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
Christ in you, all who put their hope in Christ.
Did you have fun listening to our program today? I hope that you read the Bible often to learn more about Jesus' teachings. Pray to Jesus and praise Jesus often throughout this whole week. Until then, see you next week. Bye-bye.